Hello, Guardians. Welcome back to Tower Casuals, the Destiny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Deergan. Alongside me, as always, is the man who's back, Josh Finney.
I'm so fucking tired.
You look tired, Josh.
I am. I'm glad this has been an exhausting week. And this has been an exhausting day. But I'm here.
You're here. You showed up. Part one.
I did, in fact, show up. Oh my god, like we're jumping straight into it tonight. We have no time for chit chat. There's a lot to talk. This was maybe the busiest week of the game in like a year.
And Josh has a heart out, so there might be a part two to this. Probably.
Yeah. There's probably gonna be a part two, but you'll be listening to them back to back, so you'll be okay. Corey, we had an Into the Light showcase this week, but it was actually the Final Shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else can you say other than wow?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a few things in there that I'm just like, this gives me hope. First off, Luke Smith opening the presentation.
Yeah, they let Luke Smith out of the Destiny content vault.
Yeah.
He wasn't wearing his trademark black hoodie either, so I'm carrying on your tradition, Luke.
Yeah, so they let him out, but also it just a new race, a new subclass, like all these cool new things. It was cool.
Things that we did not predict. Let's start with the subclass.
Yeah,
this is the meat and potatoes of what we saw here. Prismatic combines the best. It's kind of like a Destiny's like greatest hits of light and dark subclasses, along with brand new supers as well. I want to read exactly what Bungie has here. This isn't just about remixing abilities. You'll be able to break the known limits of light and dark by entering Transcendence, a state only possible when using the Prismatic subclass. By dealing both light and dark damage, you will charge 2 meters that, when filled, enable a temporary state of Transcendence that unlocks a new unique grenade ability and weapon damage bonuses. And they have a lot of deep dives in this Dev Insight article on Bungie.net. Really encourage you to go look at this. This is absolutely wild.
This is crazy, man. I got to it late. It was over by the time I got to watch it. But like, people were like, "You can mix subclasses." I'm like, "That's not a thing. Are you sure? Did you read that right?" And then I watched. I'm like, "Oh shit!" They're like,
"Yeah." I was watching it with our friends A1 Johnny and Joasis, and I think we were just like screaming constantly for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't believe what we were actually seeing. One of the coolest parts about all this is aspects and fragments, of course, you only have to unlock them once to use them across every single subclass. Thank God. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God. That has been fixed. It only took us like 5 expansions to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would encourage everybody to like watch all this footage. It is bonkers to actually try to explain what is going on here.
Yeah, when they opened up with the hunter footage and like the tower kind of the with the grass and the like fighting the enemies with all these different subclass moves and like that other super bar at the bottom, the red one, right? It was just like, oh man, there's a lot going on here, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on. Even just looking at like a screen cap of the Warlock, at one point they had Radiant, Devour, and Amplified all up at the same time.
Yeah,
that is just filthy. That is absolutely filthy.
I mean, they're breaking the game. This is breaking the game.
They're breaking the game in the best way possible. They posted a Prismatic deep dive too, we should note. One of the cool things while they were fighting the enemies, that initial hunter, when he's fighting enemies, you see a specter of the witness kind of looming in the background, which was really cool. But, Jesus, man. You can choose from all available movement modes and class abilities, including subclass specific ones such as Phoenix Dive, Acrobat's Dodge, and Thruster. The main goal for Prismatic is to enable new and interesting build crafting combinations that lead to new types of gameplay so we can keep the game feeling fresh. As part of this, some of the abilities we've chosen are ones we think have been underused since their initial release and have exciting interactions with the rest of the roster. In many cases, we've adjusted how certain aspects function to specifically enable these unique interactions. With Prismatic, we want to make an immediate impact. From the very first mission of the final shape, you'll have access to a complete starting Prismatic build with a set of light and dark abilities, aspects, and a full set of fragments. Let's dive into the details of what these starting builds have to offer. Let's start with the Hunter, Corey.
Let's do it.
Prismatic Hunter is evasive and maneuverable, grappling around the battlefield and leaping to advantageous positions with Ascension. Their starting Prismatic build enables that maneuverability, with Winter Shroud providing a handy debuff, that stylish Executioner, which now triggers by defeating an enemy afflicted by any subclass debuff, can activate from, providing easily accessible invisibility to reposition wherever you need to be with safety. The supers you can choose from on the Hunter are going to be the brand new Arc Super Storm's Edge, the Solar Super Golden Gun Marksman, for anybody who's curious, that is the Celestial Nighthawk one. Silence and Squall, the Stasis Super, the Strand Silk Strike, and Shadow Shot Deadfall, that is the single shot tether. Among the other abilities you're going to get are Knife Trick, which is the fan of knives, the Swarm Grenade, Gunpowder Gamble, Duskfield Grenades, Withering Blades, which are the Stasis Shurikens, the Threaded Spike, Magnetic Grenades, Snare Bombs, and of course, we can't leave this out because they are the only class that will get this ability. They're the only class that will be able to utilize the Grapple with Prismatic. Initial impressions, this looks awesome. I was a little underwhelmed when I was reading this last night. I think specifically the Void abilities are I love Stylish Executioner. Really like the inclusion of that. I've had it on since it came out. I've never taken it off. Snare Bomb, of course. I would have preferred Vortex Grenades here, or something along those lines. Not really a huge fan of the Magnetic Grenade. And I think especially for those who don't like Grapple, there's not a whole lot of awesome grenade options. Pretty much if you're not running Grapple, you're probably running Dusk Fields. Unless you're me, you're going to run, I'm going to run Arc Bolts. The melee abilities are what I'm really stoked about here. All five of these melee abilities are great. These are all great abilities for proccing those different things. These are going to be the go-tos. The Prismatic classes are going to be the go-tos for GMs, because you're going to be able to do all of the debuffs, basically. So I'm really looking forward to that. I want to see what this new Ascension aspect does before I get too excited. But right now, Stylish Executioner and Winter Shroud, like they said, those are probably the ones for me. I don't mind Threaded Spectre. I would have preferred Knock 'em Down over Gunpowder Gamble, but I get it. You want that power fantasy, and that's what Gunpowder Gamble gets you over Knock 'em Down. Yeah. I'm already good at hitting my precision shots anyways. So definitely want to see what Ascension does. Ascension probably will be my second aspect here. We had a question about what builds are you excited to try. I think for me, it is, it's probably the state. It's either going to be the Stasis or Shadow Shot supers. Of course I'm using triple jump. I still like using Marksman's Dodge personally, but Acrobat's Dodge does give you Radiant. So if I'm not running anything else solar, I'm probably going to have Acrobat's Dodge on to make my whole team radiant. For melee abilities, it's Withering Blade. I think they're all great options. Withering Blade though, 100% my thing. Grenades, I'm probably going either Arc Bolts. I don't want to go Dusk Fields here if I'm going to already have maybe a Stasis Super. I'm going to go probably Arc Bolts or Dusk Fields. And then aspects. I need to see exactly what Ascension does. I don't remember if they told us or not. We just know it's tied to mobility. And of course, Stylish Executioner. I love the power fantasy of being able to go invisible, especially in PvE horde modes like we got this week with Onslaught. That has been absolutely awesome. Clutch for me. Yeah, I've been clutching that invis.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, Josh, but this is the Prison of Elders style mode that I've been waiting for so long. And I know it's not the same thing, but it's scratching that itch so hard. Oh, it's so good.
I would say it's better than Prison of Elders.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played enough of it to make that judgment call, but I played enough of it to be like, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
I've done probably 6 playlist runs, which is the 10 wave version, and then I have done the I've done 2 full 50 wave completions.
Nice. Awesome.
It's fantastic. This is a fantastic activity. Also, did not know this until today. I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and then I actually experienced it in the pyramid myself when I fought a boss this afternoon. There is a bonus round you can get, kind of like with Star Horse in Dares of Eternity. It is Oops All Tormentors. Unlimited supers during it.
Oh, man.
You have like 2 minutes to kill as many tormentors as possible.
That's kind of cool.
It was very cool. I think the number we got to was like 8 or 9 of them. It was very cool, though. I really enjoyed it. That was a very, very, very fun activity. But with all that said, let's move on to the Prismatic Titan, Corey.
Ooh.
Prismatic Titan excels at disabling enemies to make them easy targets for high-impact follow-ups. Drenger's Lash, Shackle Grenades, and Diamond Lance are all potent primers for a subsequent Consecration, Thunderclap, or powerful Unbreakable Blast. Their starting build allows them to freeze targets with a Diamond Lance, which can be created from any ability Final Blow now. That's really cool. And wind up fully charged Thunderclaps to remove the threat from the fight all in one fell swoop. So your supers that you're going to get are the Stasis Glacial Quake, the Solar Hammer of Souls. That's little hammers. Strand Blade Fury, Arc Thunder Crash, and of course the brand new Void Twilight Arsenal, the giant Void Axe.
Yeah.
Let's go. This is the one I'm most excited to see play out, I think.
Yeah, a lot of range for the Titan here. Like, if you want
I'm a pretty big fan. I mean, I look at this right away, and of course we all know how good Blade Fury has been this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one of the top supers. It's been incredible. You've got so many good options there. I think you've got great options there. I know everybody's excited to play with Twilight Arsenal. It's hands down the coolest of the new supers, I think.
Yeah, because you get to keep the axe afterwards for a little bit.
The biggest thing I noticed when looking at the Prismatic Supers is no Well and no Bubble, which just feels great, I think. On this one, I think I'm excited to see the combos that people do with Glacial Quake and, I mean, of course, I guess a Twilight Arsenal. It's Thunder Crash. Thunder Crash. Man. All five great supers there. Great selection of supers. I'm not super thrilled with some of the hunter choices, mainly because I don't know how the new super plays for hunters.
Yeah.
That's really what leads to my disappointment. The other four are all great. Man, all five of these look awesome from the beginning. You can put thrusters. You can put fucking thrusters on any class now. Suppressor grenades, sure. Shield throw. You can do shield throw on any class now. Shackle grenades.
Mm-hmm.
I did see people pointing out there is no Banner of War on this class, and that feels like a very deliberate choice.
Yeah, a lot of the choices feel deliberate though. Like going back to the Bubble or Well, this feels like they want this feels like a very kinetic super. Like, they want you to keep moving, they want you to be aggressive, they want you to you know, that's what this feels like, and which is great if you want, like, filling that power fantasy, you know, you want to be aggressive.
So I think the thing I'm most excited for here is actually in the melee abilities. You can put throwing hammers on any class now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really really special. You can put those on with glacier grenades on any class. You can have knockout or unbreakable, consecration. Like, there are so many good and underused abilities here, and I like that they pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be the one that I don't usually unlock the other classes until like I need to. I'm actually pretty excited to unlock all three this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like the Titan kit looks great. Is there, you know, any particular, like, just looking at this chart, is there any build that you're like, yeah, this is where I'm
at? I'm like, so I'm looking at like mixing Glacial Quake with like Shield Throw, and like I'm also looking at like Pulse Grenades and like a ranged kind of build with, you know, like the suppressor grenades to keep enemies back and kind of keep them in place while I'm chucking hammers or, you know, throwing shields or whatever. Like I feel like that's kind of where my mind is going. I don't know what in particular I'm going to do yet. I'm really interested in Twilight Arsenal as well, though. I really want to see what that's all about, obviously. But a lot of this feels like a ranged melee or ranged, you know, kind of suppressing.
But I think they want you to use range and then close in to use your super.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what this feels like.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say you would use like Glacial Quake or Thunder Crash with like shield throw or you know, throwing the hammer throwing and stuff like that.
For first glance, I like the idea of Thunder Crash with hammers, maybe suppression grenades, just to be able to pull people out of those abilities.
Yep.
Then I'm not as well versed on the aspects. I'll be totally honest. But I mean, those are the two abilities I'm kind of looking at, and I'm almost wondering if like would I maybe sacrifice a barricade. I probably wouldn't sacrifice. I don't know if I'd sacrifice a barricade. That's the weird thing. Like, I don't know if I want to sacrifice a barricade for thrusters, but I like that the option is there.
Yeah,
and it also depends. Probably the best thing, there's no overshield barricades here.
Yeah. So yeah, the barricades, like sacrificing that probably wouldn't be as big a deal depending on what your fire team's builds are, right? I mean, right. That would be so. Someone's gonna
let's move on to the warlock quickly. Quickly, let's move on to the warlock. Brings an army to bear, summoning a horde of Bleak Watchers, Hellions, and Threadlings in the blink of an eye. Their starting build lets them lock down entire rooms with Bleak Watcher and Penumbral Blast, and their ability damage, including damage caused by shattering frozen targets, kickstarts Feed the Void, granting grenade energy to start the cycle anew. This is, if the other two are like pretty straightforward, this is maybe the one that allows for the best customization. The supers you got are brand new Solar Song of Flame. That's the multiple snaps that you got going. Nova Bomb, Cataclysm, Storm Trance, which is Emperor Palpatine, Tickle Fingers, Winter's Wrath, and Needle Storm. I mean, again, just an all-star lineup of supers here. I think for me, I'm very curious to see how Song of Flame plays out, because you can use that to clear entire rooms. That's what I like about that in Winter's Wrath and Storm Trance, but like you still got the big damage supers in Nova Bomb and Needle Storm. Just at first glance here, I'm probably going Song of Flame. I mean, Penumbral Blast. It's funny because like the entire Stasis kit is just incredible. Stasis turrets, you can run the cold snaps with the Osteomancy gloves. There's a lot of really cool things. You got Threadling grenades are out there, Arcane Needle, Weaver's Call, Vortex grenades, Healing Grenade. They are the only class that's getting the Healing Grenades, should be pointed out. There's a lot here. Again, I'm not as well-versed in the Warlock, but I'm really excited to see what people do with specifically Song of Flame and Winter's Wrath on this kit. Those are the two that stand out the most to me for supers. I think you can use Blink is a really cool idea. You can select that for your movement. You can also do that on a Hunter, by the way. And then, God, I mean, just you've got an all-star selection of melee grenade and aspects there. You got an absolute all-star selection. And like, I would be one of those who would like, I'd be trying to keep it in mind. They're like, okay, whatever super I'm using, I want to use different abilities to augment my build.
Yeah.
And to complement things that are going on.
Yeah. I mean, I know we like to make fun of warlocks, but this is, you can't make fun of them with this.
No, that's awesome. As you continue through the Pale Heart of the Traveler, you'll uncover the remaining abilities, aspects, and fragments as mission rewards, as well as unlocking them through post-campaign quests and as collectibles hidden in the world. Really love that. Our ultimate goal is that as you progress in your journey to save the Traveler, you're able to continually experiment with new build crafting options and find ways to tackle the challenges ahead of you. There's no currency to earn to unlock these new elements. When you find a prismatic chest in the world or after a particularly hard battle, they're immediately granted and available for use. Part of building Prismatic was ensuring that every option and combination felt viable against a variety of content and difficulties, so most of the abilities you've seen here have also had a tuning pass that we'll share more in the detail leading up to the final shape. Aspects that were damage type specific have had their requirements loosened when using Prismatic. For example, Diamond Lance and Feed the Void activate from ability to feats of any damage type, not just Stasis and Void. And Stylish Executioner activates when defeating enemies afflicted by any elemental debuff, not just Void. But there's more, Corey.
Oh,
break
boy.
Past your more. Limits. We want to create new gameplay to showcase the player's newfound mastery of the elements. And that is Transcendence. The collision of light and dark that your guardian can now control and enables the use of never-before-seen power. When you're using Prismatic, you'll notice a new bar below your super energy meter. It's a new indicator for Transcendence. When you deal light-aligned damage, arc, solar, and void, or apply light-aligned debuffs or buffs, the light bar on the left fills. When you deal darkness-aligned damage, the darkness bar on the right fills. Kinetic damage fills both bars at a reduced rate, but that rate increases when either bar is filled, making it a solid choice to help a lagging bar catch up. When both bars are full and meet in the middle, Transcendence is available. While Transcendent, your melee and grenade energy are instantly refreshed and regenerate more quickly. Dealing damage with a grenade further increases melee regeneration, and vice versa. Your weapon damage is slightly increased, and you are more resistant to incoming damage. Our goal for this is that it feels like a mini super that's only readily available when your loadout and playstyle interweave light and dark together in harmony. Being transcended also allows you to break the shields of special combatants standing in the way on your journey through the Pale Heart of the Traveler. These combatants have been bound by the Witness and are invulnerable to incoming damage otherwise. In addition to these boosts, while transcendent, you'll also have a new grenade, one unique to each class, that deals both light and dark damage types. These are awesome. Yeah. These are really awesome. The Hunter is getting the Hailfire Spike. Have we ever had a cooler grenade name than that?
No, that's pretty cool, man.
Throw a device charged with stasis and solar energy that attaches to a surface or targets, then erupts into a slowing storm. After a short duration, the device ignites, creating deadly scorching cyclones. So basically, stasis trip mines.
I mean, that's...
Titans are getting electrified snare. Throw an explosive device energized with strand and arc that detonates in a supercharged suspending burst. The suspended target takes heavy damage over time and chains jolted lightning to any nearby targets.
Oh, that's fucking cool, man.
It's fucking cool. And then the Warlock, freezing singularity, throw a mass of void energy and stasis matter. On impact, it deploys a miniature black hole orbited by a halo of slowing ice. After a short duration, the black hole implodes, suppressing and dealing heavy damage to all nearby targets. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, all these are fucking cool, man.
I like these. Of course, the final thing we have to talk about is our fragments. Maybe the most important part of fine-tuning your build. Oh boy, here we go. We've increased most prismatic aspect fragment slot allotments to 3, with some of our most potent options staying at 2 fragment slots. You're going to need the extra space. With prismatic, from day 1 of the final shape, you'll be able to find or earn a total of 21 fragments, a sizable bump over the typical 14 to 16. Some are reimaginations or combinations of existing fragments, and some are brand new. Unlike core damage types, fragments and prismatic are unlocked for all your characters as soon as you acquire them. For example, if you finish the campaign on Hunter and want to start on your Titan will have all the fragments you've unlocked on Hunter. Some of the fragment options you can unlock. We're not going to read through all of these, but we'll do some of them. Facet of Balance. Rapidly defeating targets with light damage grants melee energy. Rapidly defeating targets with dark damage grants grenade energy. Facet of Bravery. Defeating targets with grenades grants volatile rounds to your void weapons. Defeating targets with powered melee final blows grants unraveling rounds to your strand weapons. Facet of Dawn, which is one of the ones you start with. Powered melee hits against targets make you radiant. Powered melee final blows make both you and nearby allies radiant. Facet of Defiance. Finishers create a detonation that either jolts, scorches, slows, severs, or makes targets volatile based on the damage type of your equipped super. Facet of Generosity. Defeating targets while transcendent creates orbs of power for allies. Facet of Hope. While you have an elemental buff, your class ability regenerates more quickly. Facet of Justice. While transcendent, your ability final blows explode. Facet of Protection. While surrounded by enemies, you are more resistant to incoming damage. And Facet of Ruin. This increases the size and damage of the burst when you shatter a stasis crystal or a frozen target and increases the size of solar ignitions. I think that's really cool. Yeah. I think there's some awesome abilities here.
Yeah, that Facet of Ruin sounds pretty cool with some sort of solar ability.
There's just I like almost all of these sound great. Facet of Purpose, which is one we didn't read, picking up an orb of power grants either amplified, restoration, frost armor, woven mail, or overshield based on the damage type of your equipped super. So picking up orbs when I've got my void super on gives me an overshield automatically. Let's go. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the absolute best way possible. My jaw was on the ground while they were showing this to us. And they clearly did not hold anything back. I mean, we haven't even seen everything yet. That's the craziest part.
I know. It's awesome. I'm happy.
Can we also appreciate these subclass screens? Just like real quickly. Like the UI team cooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cooked big time.
Man, you have to give it to the team, man. I mean, for how much pressure and worry that they've been under, and for them to pull something out like this is just good for them, man. Like, seriously, you know, I mean, like,
yeah,
that studio has had such a negative energy around it for so long, and for them to kind of stick with it and, you know, the people that are still there being able to pull this out and make us all not just, you know, excited again, but like, it feels like the energy in the community is like back full force right now. This is Witch Queen energy, like we were talking about last week.
The wild part is we haven't even gotten to the craziest stuff yet.
I know.
Let's jump into it right now. Exotic class items are back, Corey, but not in the way we thought they would come back. You can push your prismatic build. You can push your prismatic build even further with new exotic class items coming in the final shape. Exotic class items work specifically with prismatic subclass and will each roll with two random exotic perks inspired by a selection of other exotic armor pieces, even from different classes. This means a hunter could have a cloak with some of the unique qualities of Assassin's Cowl and parts of Liar's Handshake. Warlocks could get an exotic bond with parts of Apotheosis Veil and Star Eater Scales, and Titans could get an exotic mark with Precious Scars and Ophidian Aspect. I think that the Titan mark and the Warlock bond look awesome. The Hunter Cloak sucks. I hate this thing. I already hate this thing. I don't like the like little crown that you're wearing. I think this looks ridiculous. If they sell an ornament for this in the shop, I'm buying it day one.
I was a little confused by that, but that's just me.
But I genuinely think that the Titan mark and especially the Warlock bond look cool.
Yeah.
I don't even mind the Hunter cloak. I just don't like the hood.
Yeah.
That's my biggest complaint.
It's a little weird.
It also really feels like a little bloated. It feels a little bloated on the sides.
Yeah. I mean,
give me wings at that point, please.
I was going to say, what are these half-assed wings going on here? The Titan mark looks cool though. I'm into the Titan mark.
I can't believe that those are like they're tight. Like hunters can end up with Syntheseps, which is like terrifying to think of.
Yeah. Boy.
But Corey, we're going to need all these new tools and toys at our disposal because let me tell you about this new race of enemies called the Dread. It has finally happened. Finally. We are finally getting a brand new enemy type.
This is the first one since the end of all things. Right?
What?
The first new enemy type since the Scorn, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
These are wild. they basically said they've been building to these for a few years now. Because like, oh, they look kind of like Rolk and Nezirak inspired. Yeah. These are creatures that are twisted by the Witness's designs. Let's talk about this. Subjugators and Tormentors were just a beginning and are now joined by a full force of a new enemy faction, the Dread. The Grim take flight like bats with guns and use their screeching voice to suppress your abilities. The Husk are melee bruisers that can still try to take you down even after they have been destroyed by unleashing a Geist. The Attendant and Weavers are stasis and strand wielders, respectfully, who will use their darkness powers to freeze you in place and pull you across the battlefield. You'll have to adapt and find new tactics to defeat these foes in battle. Gunbats immediately brought me back to the drones from Halo 2.
Oh, God, yeah.
and not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh God, it took them 10 years, but they finally put a real flying enemy type in Destiny. So, this is cool. This is really cool. They have weak spots. All of them have weak spots similar to the Tormentors and the Subjugators. I'm very curious to see how this plays out. I also love that this didn't leak. I'm a very big fan of the fact this did not leak at all.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is a really, really, really cool new enemy type. I do wonder if we're going to see them outside of the Pale Heart. I would imagine that we will, because why go through all this trouble of making a brand new enemy race for us to just never see them again? It kind of feels like maybe these guys should have been introduced in, like, I don't know, the final part, like maybe in like the raid Valid Disciple.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have been there and they should have shown up partway through like Lightfall or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they probably should have shown up in Lightfall in the two raids that came after, right? I mean, like, yeah. That's, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, okay, this could have been done better, but,
well, we're getting them now.
What are you going to say?
We're getting them now.
We're getting them now. That's the most important part. We are, in fact, getting them now. Man, what a fucking demonstration that we got, though.
Yeah.
The final shape looks awesome. It looks great. This is, as I say, this is the first real info dump that we're getting for this. They've got a lot more to share in the weeks coming up. I want to answer somebody's question that we have, because we got a lot of questions about this stuff. Yeah, we did. Sammy writes in and goes, are we so back? Because from where I'm sitting, it seems like we are so back. Yes, I 100% feel that we are back. It's really reactionary, but let me tell you something. After the three streams that we've gotten leading up to this one, so really the last month, we've gotten streams on every Tuesday. Every single one of those streams has had stuff that has made me go, yep, this is a 10 out of 10 decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is really cool. We see this is the result of like letting them just let them cook,
mm-hmm.
right? This does not feel like it was dictated by the higher ups. Or maybe the higher ups were like, hey, Lightfall was kind of disappointing. You guys can go ahead and do what you want to do. Like, oh, you want to put a new subclass in the game? Sure. People will buy this for a new subclass. And man, we have canonically accurate guardians now who can use all the abilities. They're not locked into a subclass. So I think that's really cool. Obviously we've touched a little bit on it. The Into the Light content is chef's kiss, 10 out of 10. It's fantastic. I like the hunt for the weapons. The shiny weapon hunts are going to consume me for the next 2 months. Trying to hunt down that Brave title. I've already done, I've done the Whisper Reprised, and I love the changes that were made in there. I'm very excited to see how Zero Hour changes. Let's see the multiplayer maps. I realized we didn't even talk about those last week. Those look awesome. We touched very briefly on them. We'll talk more about those when they're actually in the game. But just overall, I mean, the new weapons feel great. Elsie's rifle, like, maybe the best pulse in the game now, which is not a phrase I thought I'd be saying.
But, which is great, because now I can, like, use that in the primary slot, and I can use an exotic in a different spot, finally.
So Elsie's rifle is a void gun.
Oh, so I guess...
So you'll be energy. Using it in that secondary.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It is wild, though. If you have a good void build, it's an absolutely just disgusting gun.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I was proccing Volatile constantly.
Well, Josh, there's something I've mastered in Destiny. It is the void builds. Because that's all anybody ever lets me run.
The Keeper of the Helm of Saint 14. we did have an appearance from Luke Smith, like Corey noted. We got a question from Hail Hydra saying, top three Luke Smith moments. I mean, I don't know if I have three, but I at least have two, and it's the one that we got this week where he's like, hey, we've been really hard at work. Destiny is not going anywhere, though. Destiny 2 is not going anywhere. We're really excited to talk about episodes, but we're excited to talk about the future of Destiny 2 and the franchise of Destiny after the final shape is in your hands. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to hear from the franchise director.
Yeah.
I want to hear that, like, okay, Luke Smith's been cooking. We haven't seen him in years. We haven't heard from him in years.
I feel like the last time we heard from him when he stood on stage and said, there's a big fucking two behind me. I know he's been around since then, but like, that's like the last memorable.
The last public communication that we got from Luke Smith was his final state of the game, where he handed it over to Joe Blackburn.
Yeah.
So after the release of Beyond Light, because he got the promotion, him and Mark Noseworthy both got promoted, and Joe and Justin Truman got brought up. So I do find it interesting that we haven't heard from the new game director yet. Maybe they're like saving that for later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, let's not sacrifice him yet.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's directing the content after this primarily. I mean, like,
I would assume that that's what's happening.
So maybe he will open up the next, like, what's happening after the final shape.
My understanding is that Joe saw the final shape through.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That it is content and feature complete. That's what he noted in his goodbye posts, that it's feature complete and they are now deep in testing. It's very clear to see why they had to delay this. Like, once you see Prismatic and the exotic class items, like, I guarantee you something broke the game and they were like, oh shit, we got to make sure it's not going to break absolutely everything by doing this. Like, this is really cool, but us putting it into the sandbox may actually destroy the game.
Yeah.
It also makes sense why they've been pushing Checkmate so hard and trying to get it totally balanced, because I do think that's about to become the default PvP mode, so that people don't have to just like die to abilities constantly. And you know, with the ability uptimes fairly decreased and things like that. Hydra also asks, the art director with the beard, don't you wish he was your friend? Absolutely. He had a glorious mustache. He had a great beard. He was bald and he had a glorious mustache. That man, I feel like, could show me the best pizzeria and the best Italian joints in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would absolutely be friends with him. I lost track of how many, like, bald white guys we've seen on these streams, but yeah, I'd be friends with every one of them.
Twirly mustaches.
I'm specifically just taking final shape questions out of here right now. I want to make sure that we get to all of them. Jiggly Panda writes in, I know we're going to talk about all the stuff that got revealed, so I want to ask, did you guys see any of the things they revealed coming? Nope.
I definitely didn't see them mixing subclasses into a new subclass.
I think that was a pipe dream for all of us. Like, yeah. We just kind of accepted it wasn't ever going to happen, but everything in the lore indicates that that needed to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that, if, like, you think about it, it totally makes sense.
Canonically, the Guardian is the only one who has been able to master both.
Yeah.
And, or at least was the first one to master both, I guess I should say. So it makes sense that they have Prismatic. Also, to me, that, like, indicates, like, hey, we were able to unlock, like, a new level of power for the old consoles. But I am absolutely adamant this has to be the final thing on the old consoles. It has to be.
Does it, though? Because we keep saying that, and
it has to be. I tried playing this on an older console not too long ago. And it was bad, Corey. It was like watching a stop motion movie.
Yeah. Well, I have my Xbox One X hooked up on this TV over here just to like watch Netflix or movies while I'm editing and doing stuff over here.
It was so bad.
And I'm like, huh, Destiny's installed on here. Maybe I should put it in. Dude, playing that game at a sub 30 makes me want to.
Which is wild, because you're actually playing it better than I played it on a launch Xbox One.
Jesus. Good luck with that.
And it's just truly one of the absolute worst things I've ever seen in my entire life.
How is that slideshow?
Dude, it's bad. It's like Microsoft Paint.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Xbox One, man.
All right. We have some time left. Let's get into the light, Corey.
Let's do it.
The Twabby Twab is probably gonna get put off, but that's fine. Let's talk Onslaught.
Let's do it.
This was better than I thought it was going to be. I already thought it was going to be pretty cool. Seeing the other maps that they chose, though, was awesome.
Yeah.
You have Midtown, you have Vostok, which is the Iron Temple, of course. And then you have the Moth Yards in the Cosmodrome. Yeah. I thought all three of these, I think all three of these are really cool locations. You have to play each of them differently too.
Yep. Great choice.
Like, I kind of like the spread outness of the Moth Yards, and I kind of don't. Yeah. I like the elevation of certain parts of Ostok, and I hate the lower part. Mm-hmm. Midtown is just like, Midtown's the kind of the default map, I feel. Mm-hmm. This is really cool. I've got, like I said, I've gotten two clears, which isn't nearly as much as some people in our community. I know one person personally who has already maxed out his Shaxx reputation.
Yeah, because they were saying you can't reset it.
You can't reset it, but I mean, think about how much you're earning. Like, it's basically like resetting, I don't know, your Vanguard rank in one day.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what some folks are doing. Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, I just did a bunch of bounties. Like, oh my God, like how many fucking bounties are you doing? You can only hold a handful of them. Like, what are you doing? So, initial impressions of Onslaught. I think it's a really fun activity. I think that some of the waves are a bit more punishing than others since it is totally random. Like I was bracing in the last one I got to level 50, I was really bracing for level 49 to be bad because the first run I did with A1 Johnny and Joasis, right as the thing dropped, we were getting our asses kind of kicked on that last one because there were so many giant shanks and giant captains on the point.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to go do the bonus objective while I stayed to protect, and that's when they spawned all the big shit in. Like, they deliberately want to split your team as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little rough. This is an activity that it gets rougher and rougher with randos. Because people will just leave randomly. You'll get thrown into random matches. I highly recommend going in with a pre-made fire team, either through Fire Team Finder or with your friends. Because it will be much smoother. You can coordinate heavy. You can coordinate abilities. There are champions in here, and I have been reminded about how much people do not run anti-champion weapons or abilities, myself included. So that's been a fun, eye-opening experience. I think the heavy crates are very generous. I think we get plenty of heavy, especially if you're using something like Thunderlord. I think you get plenty of heavy dropping. Having the different modifiers to, you know, supercharge your guns is really cool. I specifically enjoyed that LMGs is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was running Thunderlord in our first run, and then I found myself using it a lot in my second run.
Thunderlord, man.
I think locations are cool. The Tormentors actually feel challenging somewhat.
Yeah.
Enough
to make you think about what you're doing, right? I mean, that.
Yeah, the giant Briggs, when you have to stand in a resonance circle to drop their shields, that is like just one of the like, okay, I'm going to clench the cheeks moment for me. I thought that was real. I feel like the stakes are there. I think the loot is pretty generous.
Uh-huh.
And the trophies of bravery, of course, are constantly there. You can always turn those in next to Shaxx or turn them in for your armor. I love the thrill of chasing the shiny weapons. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And I think Dado made a really good point about this earlier, basically saying, you know, hey, everybody needs to stop complaining about the drop rate of these things. One, it's been 2 days. Two, this was always going to be something that was going to be really hard for like for normies to go do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're guaranteed a shiny curated role from Shaxx, but if you want one with different roles with that shiny ornament on it, you're gonna have to go grind for it. You're gonna have to focus for it. Like, that's the whole point. You've got 8 weeks to do it. And I don't really feel bad for anybody right now. Like, those first six weapons, this is the time to go grind those right now, this week.
Yep.
Because every weapon they add is more you got to consider. How badly do I want a god roll of this? Like, okay, a lot of us are probably going to ignore Succession and Forbearance because we already have those. Like, if you're a hardcore player, we want the other 10 weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them, hey, the perks that you get from the curated roll are actually pretty good. Other ones, like I had a shiny Succession drop out of my very first chest.
Jeez.
That we did. and I got redirection recombination on it right away. And I was like, oh shit. Because you get double perks on those when right. they drop in the wild versus just the static roll from Shax when right. you get his. So it's like, okay, you're gonna get a pretty good roll from Shax. Sometimes it's gonna be the god roll, sometimes it's not. Other times you're gonna get a way better roll and like perk combinations on the shinies out in the wild. I've gotten a recluse or two that are like that. I've gotten an Elsie's rifle like that. I've gotten a Hung Jury like that. Like, I think they are being, and I've only finished two full runs. I feel like they're being pretty generous with them if you just sit down and play the fucking game.
Yeah.
But you have to go play Onslaught to get them. So, like, the people who are already maxing out their rep, these are going to be the same people who complain in, like, 2 weeks that nothing's new in Destiny, everything sucks, everything's stale, and I don't want to hear that. I think this is great for a two-month event.
Yeah.
No, initial impressions, this is great.
Yes.
We have a confession, and we have a question from Ronnie about this mode, though.
Oh, boy.
I wasn't looking forward to on... Oh, first, I want to read the full thing. I'll admit when I was wrong, and I'll do it in the question thread. I was not looking forward to Onslaught, as it was a horde mode type of game, but I didn't trash people who wanted it and loved those styles. Bungie had to get this thing out on the audible of the Destiny roadmap as soon as they could. I am, however, very, very wrong. This is a breath of fresh air. Cool concepts and a really smart use of PvP maps that already existed but hadn't seen PvE battles. I also love making the grind feel like it's worth it for the curated roles, as well as the curated ornaments that's different than just the regular ones. That being said, my question to you guys is this. How does this not become Gambit 3.0? What are ways they can keep updating to make it feel fresh and new if they plan to? For me, the most obvious is I think this is where the Dread are going to live after the final shape.
Yep.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't. I would like them to see, I'd like to see them add new maps in like a year or two. I'll be honest, with this mode now, I think you could actually remove Gambit for like 6 months to go try and fix it. Mm-hmm. And then you could put this back in. Or you could put Gambit back in. I don't think this mode is going to stick around forever either. This is a really cool mode. But, I mean, if this is the only way you can continue to get those 12 weapons, then I'm fine with them keeping this as a permanent mode. But folks are going to have to understand that, you know, hey, this is probably going to go the way of seasonal content. I would expect them to leave it in for maybe a year or two, and then they're going to sunset it. And that makes sense to me. This is something that the whole point of this is to build up to the final shape. Like, this canonically is supposed to take place between Crow going through the portal and this happening. So,
yeah.
I think you can add the Dread to it. I think you can add the Scorn to it. Because it's very interesting that it's just Hive and House Salvation that you fight in here initially. I think you can add the Taken to this eventually. There are plenty of other enemy races you could do. You could do like 2.0 of this, but the most I could see is maybe they update like the armor pool or something eventually, like they have with Dares of Eternity. But if they haven't really done much with Dares, I don't think they're going to do much with this either.
Yeah, I don't.
I would say it's probably just going to continue to live separately from everything else, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is here for a very specific purpose. This was never like meant to really be in the game as far as I'm concerned. So if they don't update it again, I'm not going to get mad about it. Like, they did this on the fly.
Yeah.
Like you said, they called an audible. They basically decided in October, we have to make this.
Yep.
And they not only did that, they brought back 12 fan favorite guns, or, you know, guns that are relevant to Destiny's history. So and gave them all awesome perk combos. Like, they're all fantastic. At least the six that we've had so far are fantastic.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think you really can avoid this becoming Gambit 3.0, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I like it better than Gambit, but also...
I do too. I think part of that is because it's the new hotness.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Still. But this continues a great trend, I think, of coming up with good activities that they've done over the last year. Like, I think deep dives were pretty creative. I think that, you know, Altars of Summoning was like, okay, it's another, like, wave-based mode. And Savathun Spire, I thought, was kind of cool. and I really love Coil. This, they said, you know, hey, we tried to take inspiration from everything we've done this year, and I feel like they pretty clearly done that.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this a lot. This feels like the ultimate goodbye to seasons in a lot of ways, and like whatever episodes is going to be, it'll be something brand new. This feels like a goodbye to the seasonal model we've had since Shadowkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
This is like, Ronnie said it best in the Discord a couple days back. Like, is this like low key? Is this the best, like without even having us having played it, is this the best quote unquote season this year? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Having played it now, I can be like, yeah, this is the best content drop we've gotten. And it's funny because it's just stuff that we've wanted for years.
Yep.
And I understand, like, this stuff could have been drip fed to us. I'm personally convinced that most of this content was probably planned for the 10th anniversary and was just moved up because, like, the voice lines are still, like, recycled Crucible lines for the most part. I'm pretty sure this was supposed to be a 10th anniversary thing and they just went, nope, let's bump it up.
Yeah.
Let's bump it up and let's change a couple of things. But, like, Brave Arsenal, pretty sure that was supposed to be there. I'm pretty sure the Pantheon, which we're going to try and touch on real quickly, I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be a 10th anniversary thing.
Yeah, that definitely feels like... Yeah.
All right. We're going to go quick. We're running low on time. We're going to go pretty quickly here. We're jumping to the Chwab real fast. There's not a lot here that we haven't already talked about. There's some really cool wallpapers. I encourage everybody to go watch the Into the Light and Final Shape trailers that they gave us because they're all really cool.
Oh, the Final Shape trailer, man, was so good.
It really evoked the feeling of the Believe trailer for the Into the Light campaign right there.
Yeah, and the
with the Guardians posing with the weapons.
Yeah, and the way they put Make Your Own Fate at the end, like with the heavy drum beats and like, oh man, dude.
Ugh. Which is cool because that's one of the classic Destiny lines, right, from the original Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk Pantheon real fast, and then we're gonna bounce out. We'll save UI talk for next week, Corey.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready to challenge the gods?
Yes.
Pantheon is the new PvE challenge that starts on April 30th. It involves not only a gauntlet of raid boss encounters currently available in the game, but also a few twists on how to approach them. We're keeping some details close to the chest, including the list of enemies you will face. But since you're all eager to know about it, the goal of Pantheon is to relive incredible and heroic moments the raids always deliver, while also changing what you expect from some of the encounters many of you already know so well. Prepare to be nimble, adapt your strategies, or throw them out of the window, and your fire team will find success. Pantheon will increase in scale and difficulty each week, starting with 4 bosses in the first one and growing up to 8 in a row on May 21st. Each time a new boss is added, the active modifiers will rotate, the power cap will change, starting with players at 5 power below all the way up to contest mode equivalent of 20 below. As the difficulty goes up, so does the pool of available rewards. You can get adept raid weapons, deep sight versions of raid weapons, and even exotic drops. Some rewards are weekly, and other are linked to pursuits or triumphs, like 4 new emblems. But many will also depend on your performance. We challenge you to complete each encounter before the bonus timer expires to get a platinum score and the best rewards. When April 30th arrives, we hope you have trained and prepared yourselves, Guardians. Shax will have the quest you'll need to start your journey to become a God Slayer. Yeah, that's the title waiting for those who conquer Pantheon. Instantly must do just because of the title.
Yep.
Fucking God Slayer? Are you kidding me?
Fucking awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like, I like the Brave title. God Slayer is the, like, most metal thing they've ever put in this game.
It's so cool. It's so good.
I love it. It's better than Kingslayer. Yeah. It's better than Kingslayer for Oryx.
Oh, yeah.
This is wild. God Slayer.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, the encounters have been data mined, and it really is like a greatest hits of enemies.
Yes. Great. Oracles, so, War Chief.
It's funny you say, so Golgoroth is one.
Yeah, I know. It's in the club.
The ones I can remember off the top of my head, Golgoroth, Atrax, the Caretaker,
Tanix.
Rolk. Nezi, the Subjugator of Planets from Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? There was like one or two. I think Oryx is in one of these variations.
Yeah, I mean,
I believe Oryx is in one of these, and that might be it. There's a total of eight, and that might be it. There's probably one, maybe two that I'm forgetting somewhere, but that is that. Oh, excuse me, Riven. I can't believe I forgot her. Riven is one of the. Riven is the. I believe the order is Riven is the final one of the eight bosses. I'm so curious to see who actually conquers this, because this is probably going to be the hardest and rarest title in the history of the game.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. Primarily because if data miners are to be believed, this is entering the content vault. Do not quote me on this, because I don't know if this is actually real. But I saw a lot of talk going on today that this is going back into the content vault on June 3rd. Mm. So you will have basically a month to do this. My belief is it'll be put away and then it'll come back for the 10th anniversary. This is something I feel like you could break out from time to time.
Yeah. And you could even put,
this is like this is the ultimate break glass in case of emergency thing.
Yeah.
So, but we do know, thanks to data miners, there are specific quests that indicate you will get a guaranteed exotic raid weapon from some of these quests that you get from Shax. So I think that's awesome.
Nice. Great.
That's very exciting for me.
Awesome. This is cool. I like it. I'm
into it. This is cool. This is really awesome. I am all the way here for it.
I'm into it.
I think that's going to be all that we have time for today. We actually got through basically everything that we had to cover. We're going to talk about the HUD next week. There's a lot of things here, and I really haven't had a chance to read too much on the HUD yet. Mm-hmm. I've just seen the screenshots, so I want to take some time to read up on that. And the buff appearances, yeah. I want to read up on that. Real quickly, weapons are rotating out on June 4th. I want to hit these because some of these are, their last chance to get them are this week. Mm-hmm. Trials of Osiris, Unexpected Resurgence Glaive will be out of rotation. The Cataphract GL3 Heavy Grenade Launcher, the last week that you can earn that will be April 23rd. The Messenger, last week, May 14th. Igneous Hammer, last week, May 21st. Really interesting that Messenger is already going to go away. So get in. Of course, these will still be available through Saint 14. You will not be able to get the Adepts anymore, though. That's the big thing. You'll still be able to buy them from Saint in the Legacy gear for Engrams, but good luck. Nightfall, Braytech Osprey Rocket Launcher, the last week, April 9th. So it is this week. This is the final week you can get Braytech Osprey, the Adept version, or just get it to drop without having to pay for it. And then Loaded Question is going out of the rotation the week of April 23rd. Another probably a must-have weapon. One of the best fusions in the game. Iron Banner, the Yoram's Claw Pulse Rifle, Bite of the Fox Sniper Rifle, Pressurized Precision Fusion Rifle, and Swarm of the Raven Heavy Grenade Launcher are all going to be available for the last time, April 30th. Again, you can always get them from Saladin later on down the road. Man, that is, that's not too bad, though. What's going to replace these? They say they're going to tell us in the future. I would expect that probably around mid-May for them to drop that news on us.
Yeah.
But yeah, just wanted to get that out there, since some of these, the last time you can get them are in the next week or two. So get in there and get them. Kind of annoyed that like the glaive is already out of rotation, and like we presumably didn't know about this. So that's a little aggravating.
Yeah. Well, can't save them all, Josh. Although we are big glaive people. So
We are big glaive people here. Absolutely. Yeah, why don't you get us on out of here, Corey?
Yeah, time is up. I want to thank everybody for watching and or listening to this episode of Tower Casuals. There might be a part two. Josh might cover a part two tomorrow, maybe. There will be back-to-back episodes.
TBD.
Josh, thank you for your time tonight. As always, sorry I was late. Where can we find you?
No, you're good.
Where can we find you?
Josh_Finn, two N's.
Two N's.
I love that our community has like picked up on that. I jumped into some Discord chats this week and they're like, oh, hey, it's Josh Finn with two N's.
Yes.
Yes, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I love it. We should just make a shirt that's two N's. Maybe that's the final shape.
Two N's.
The final shape.
Two N's.
Two N's. You can find me at IamCoreyInHD on social media. Follow us at Tower Casuals. Join the Discord. Thank you so much for watching and listening. And until next time, we love you. Goodbye.